thanks for taking us with you.
I listen to your station all the time.
AM 1460 WVOX New Rochelle and WVOX Worldwide.
Live from New York, the Fox Report with Shepard Smith.
Can federal courts overturn federal statutes? The short answer is yes, from the U.S. Attorney General, answering a federal judge's order in a ripple effect from the president's comments this week. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, live in the Washington.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals requested a no less than 3-page, single-spaced letter from the Attorney General. The letter, coming in at closer to 2.5 pages, outlines the administration's views on judicial review. It says the long-standing historical position regarding judicial review of federal legislation has not changed, but adds courts consider acts of Congress presumptively constitutional. The court order was made after President Obama earlier this week suggested overturning the health care law would be unprecedented. The White House has since clarified those remarks, Shep.
Jared, thanks. Both sides of the aisle say they want more of this. A bipartisan jobs bill signed into law today. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz, live at the White House.
In fact, in the same week the president complained Republicans won't work with him, he signed 2 bipartisan bills into law. The one today is called the Jumpstart Our Business Startups, or JOBS Act. It aims to make it easier for small companies to grow by selling shares without a lot of the restraints that are placed on bigger companies.
Our job is to help our companies grow and hire. That's why I pushed for this bill.
Republicans pushed for it, too, but consumer groups are pushing back, saying it will lead to fraud and investor abuse. Shep?
Mike, thanks. Mitt Romney says the president's policies are making it harder for the economy to recover.
And he tries to look around and find someone else to blame for almost every single one of his failures.
Romney moving in on Rick Santorum's home turf in Pennsylvania while Santorum takes a break for Easter weekend. The JetBlue pilot who had a midair meltdown appeared in court today, a federal judge in Texas ordering him to have a psychiatric exam. On Wall Street, the Dow down 15. And you're up to date, fair and balanced.
Dad, what's the American dream?
Well, the American dream is the opportunity for everyone who works hard to be prosperous.
It doesn't just happen when you're asleep.
No, sweetie, it's not that kind of dream. Why do you ask?
My teacher said the American dream was in danger because things in the government are broken.
Well, your teacher's right. There are lots of things that need to be fixed. But hopefully the adults in Washington will get together to fix those problems.
America has some tough problems right now. Out-of-control spending and bloated government are threatening the American dream. We must change course and get our fiscal house in order. The Heritage Foundation has a bold plan to fix the debt, cut spending, and restore prosperity. A plan that addresses Social Security, Medicare, tax reform, and health care, and reduces the size of government. Find out how we can save the American dream at savingthedream.org. That's savingthedream.org. Pay the Heritage Foundation.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
The voice of Westchester, WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal. Here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. Heard on our new day and time, Thursdays from 5 to 6 p.m. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. How do you grade restaurants you go to or movies that you attend or TV or radio shows you watch and hear? And what about President Obama? How do we grade him? Or are we grading him on a curve? I remember as a professor back in the day, I marked on a curve. More about that in a few moments. But folks, if you're joining us for the first time, this show is about understanding brands and whether they are personal, corporate, or business. What we do is use the very principles that Fortune 500 companies use in marketing and branding to initiate a brand so that we can go brand ourselves and become the brand we are truly meant to be. And during this hour, I want to provide you with some branding and marketing gems that you can take to the bank and in your life. And this is a call-in show. And it's your show, and we want to hear from you at 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110. Or give us an email at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, occasionally I have some callers who have asked to call in so that you can see exactly what we do here on Brand Talk and give you an example of things and items that you can talk about. And so if you like to give us a call, once again, 914-636-0110. If you are familiar with our show, which I was doing on Wednesdays, and now we're doing Thursdays from 5 to 6, we generally didn't have interviews, but we're going to try something new and on a new time slot. And so next week, we're going to have, for all those Westchester folks that may have seen him, and folks in New York City, we're going to have Mark Nadler, cabaret performer par excellence, probably one of the most talented pianists I know. Can he play a piano? And he'll tell you all about his new CD and new show that he's coming in with. So we're going to talk to him next week, and I'm going to talk about what his brand is and whether or not the cabaret brand has seen its better days. Is it a little too, as some friends might have told me, a little too dusty and may need a little brushing off or a brushing on or a little something more to it? Well, we're gonna ask Mark about that. And then on the 19th, I'm going to have Richard Skipper, who is a wonderful performer, who used to do Carol Channing, probably the best Carol Channing interpretation that I have ever seen. And I've been to many of his shows, and we're going to talk about him and what he's doing. And that's next week. And today, I have sharing the responsibilities with me, the concepts and all things branding. We're doing a share in here. My radio partner and friend, TJ McCormick,
hello,
who is a regular on Fox News Channel and the Fox Business Network. And you might have even seen him on the road. And welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Well, it's really nice to have you back.
Yeah.
So anything new in the wonderful world of TJ McCormick?
I think it's fascinating to hear you talking about the idea of how we grade the president and this interesting notion that you're talking about when you were a professor. I believe you're going to be getting into the notion of grading on a curve.
Sure.
And as one of those students who was responsible for that curve in just about every class I ever took, because you know, part of my brand is if TJ would just apply himself.
Right.
So, wow. Yeah. So the good doctor always throws at me the last month. I've come into the studio, and John has said, I've got one for you. and he will proceed to give me something he's going to be throwing out there in the show. And today, this is no exception. What a brilliant, brilliant notion to start bandying about. And I can't wait to really open that one up, because that's a brilliant, brilliant thing.
Well, you know, I pitched it to my editor over at Fox News, and it was one of those E.F. Hutton commercials.
Right.
It was like a pause.
Yeah.
And she thought about it, and she said, write it, and I'm not even going to be here next week, but write it, and get it over, and we'll run it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's great.
And, but just let me, for those of you who are not familiar with the curve, basically what happened, and the issue today is whether or not President Obama is being graded on a curve. And if you like to give us a call, if you do know what a curve is, you want to give us a call, and why don't you do that at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So getting back to what a curve is, a curve is used when everybody in the class, and I used to teach statistics.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, one man samples another man's population, let me tell you. Okay, and, you know, teaching statistics, or as one of my students used to say, sadistics.
Very funny.
Very funny. Yeah, okay. Don't go overwhelmingly laugh on my...
No, that's a real stamp of approval from a comedian. When a comedian doesn't even laugh and says funny, that's the ultimate compliment.
Very good.
Just so you know.
I'm learning. I'm learning about it.
Yeah, you'll see that with a real comic. We'll go, funny.
So
go ahead. Talking about sadistics.
So anyway, teaching statistics to young men and women that really didn't want to be there.
Right.
Every once in a while, you would give them a test, and they didn't do well.
Right.
So that the average numerical score was like 60.
Right.
And so what you would do is put it on a curve, and what you mean by the curve is the sine curve, and what you would do is give them a grade, A, B, C, D, E, F, not on the percentage that they got right, but how they did in reference to how the other students did.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you got a 70 and the test was hard enough, that could be an A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. So with that, and I was thinking about this because I often hear from my Democrat friends, you know, look at the president. Mm-hmm. I mean, look what he was given.
Right.
All right, and I say, when you market something, it's very generally objective. When people want, you know, when you evaluate something, it's not that when you're at a restaurant, you're not saying, well, you know, it's not that bad.
It's not awful.
Compared to the restaurant I went to last week.
Right. Compared to the place with the roaches, this with the big roaches, this place with the small roaches is Le Cirque.
Right. But you see, TJ, and this is what I don't understand. And by the way, you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. But what my Democrat friends don't realize is that people vote and buy products based on whether or not they perform.
The performance.
Not relatively.
Right. And, you know, from the very beginning, and think about this, all you people, say that, by the way, we are new to drive time. We're new to the 5 o'clock hour. So anybody who doesn't know, John is the intelligent force, the man with the degree. It's his show. I'm along for the ride. I'm a former comic. I'm a conservative commentator over on Fox. I'm a humorist, a political humorist. So you'll hear me chime in from the more conservative side of things.
Who writes, by the way,
and
very well.
And
he writes very well, and you see his writing on FoxNews.com.
Also on Fox, we're in the same column. It is so, you people who are in love with this Obama, the folks out there who are his rock solid base. How can you be so enamored of someone who has still not relinquished the part of his brand mm-hmm. that blames references to this day,
mm-hmm.
A, George W. Bush, B, what he inherited from George W. Bush. It's still to this day in his stump speeches, in his campaign speeches. We are going into the re-election campaign of Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
and he is still doing something that he was justifiably chided for in the first year of his presidency. It's amazing to me that that 3.5 years into this presidency, we're still hearing about what he inherited. In other words, John, right. What I'm saying is, you know, this notion of a curve, yeah, people are grading him on a curve. And you know why? Because he's been demanding it of them. He has laid in that narrative
right.
from day one.
Yeah, but see, I take a different kind of look at Obama. I believe that the president, when he was elected, I've had a number of discussions with my producer Jonathan on this,
mm-hmm.
is that he satisfied a need and a real desire in this country mm-hmm. at that time
right.
to bring everyone together. Now, the jury is out
right.
as to whether or not he might have done that.
Right.
And he ran from a marketing point of view
mm-hmm.
an excellent campaign.
Sure.
Okay. And I could, but let's be objective, and that's why I'm posing.
Yeah.
No, not that you're not being objective.
No, I'm not,
What I'm trying to say here
right.
is that if we look at his performance
mm-hmm. right.
Objectively in terms of, and not comparing him, because if you want to compare
mm-hmm.
the president
right.
to George Bush,
right.
I'd like to compare him to FDR.
Bam.
I mean, right? Because I don't think FDR would have allowed mm-hmm. This to happen, or mm-hmm. Bill Clinton.
Right.
You see, I mean, so if we're gonna, you know,
compare let's not apples just compare. To apples.
Let's do it that way, and I like to find out if you have any feelings about what we're talking about. Is the president being evaluated on the curve?
Do you yourself, dear listener, do you yourself judge the president, grade him on a curve? Is your reaction when you, if you're a liberal and you're talking to conservatives, you bump into a big mouth like me, who has my criticisms of the man, do you right away, is your default to say, look what he inherited, look what he had, look what he stepped in, look what was on his plate, look what George Bush left him? And by the way, how fair is that curve that you're putting there for him, to his benefit? Because was not the what he inherited also the result of a Democrat majority House and Senate? I ask you.
Okay.
Fair liberal out there.
Right. 914-636-0110. That is T.J. McCormick, not John Tantillo, giving you his take on President Obama. But, you know,
yes.
Here's something
mm-hmm.
to play devil's advocate. In terms
should
of,
we get him in here?
Yeah, we should get him in here. And there's some precedent for us using the curve in our lives. The night before, I went out with a dear friend, and we went to the Carlyle Hotel. We were in the Carlyle Room, which was the room where Bobby Short used to sing, you know? And if you don't know the Carlyle Room, if you're from, you're not from New York, it's considered the room for musicians to perform.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that is...
Cafe Carlyle? Is that what
it is? Yes, it's very good.
The Cafe Carlyle at the Carlyle.
That's correct. And a long story short, I went to see this performance. I'm not going to mention the artist's name because you can look him up, because it's I don't think it will do service to him, but I think you'll will after I explain to you what happened, I think you're going to understand
all about brands and evaluating on a curve and all of that. But so this fellow played at the Carlisle, and the backdrop is it's a very prestigious room where all the greats of cabaret played, and it's considered the most expensive room to go to in New York City. It costs about $300, $150 a person, something like that, depending on who's there. Anyway, and in the audience were critics. Not critics, but the media was there.
Gotcha.
And this was a very New York crowd.
Okay.
Very New York. Very
Upper
sophisticated.
East Side.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And this fellow who played was excellent. Great. He was very talented.
Right.
But he played. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Stairway to Heaven. In the room that has the spirit of Bobby Short.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it was just the wrong brand. He was the wrong brand for that room. And, people were moving around the seat.
Stick to I get a kick out of you.
Yeah, well.
Right?
Right. Anyway.
Oy vey, Smear.
So, to make a long story short, the show ended, and I basically said to the person that brought me there, he wasn't as bad as you said he was.
Right.
It was because you were in the room and you judged him on a curve.
Very subjectively.
Subjectively, where in this particular room, everybody did very well.
Right.
Okay. And as a result, he didn't, not that he didn't perform well, the music that he selected wasn't well.
Right. Sure. He sang a bad choice really well.
Very well.
If those people could have stopped short of what he was singing and listened to the way he was singing it, perhaps. But, you know, it's the crowd. You got to know your room.
Yeah, but you see, and this is what we try to do on Brand Talk every week. Talk about, and everybody says, you know, I should say everybody.
Right.
But I get a lot of criticism from my media friends that think that this branding and marketing is a lot of poppycock.
Oh!
You know? No, it's still there. And this is a good example that if somebody said, it's not your brand, you can't do that room, You should have tried the Metropolitan Room on 23rd Street.
Or know your crowd.
When I would go
and play a born-again Christian college.
I love it.
I don't care. If I'm going to go play a born, when I would go play Texas Abilene Christian University when I was a stand-up, do you think that I would go in there and do the material about canoodling with my girlfriend, et cetera, et cetera? Because no matter how funny or how comedically perfectly I present that bit is anathema to how those people live.
Right.
And no matter how objectively funny it is, or subjectively, it's just bad choice. So, yeah, I mean, and yet as an artist... See, that's the thing. When you're an artist, you know, you're like, I can do it. I can get him.
I can get him.
And God bless him, you know.
Well, you see, and that's where branding can be helpful if you are an artist.
Yes.
And not that, and I talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I am being creative, I can't be analytical. And when I'm analytical, I can't be creative.
Wow.
So you need somebody. Whether or not it's your wife, your manager, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, somebody, or your producer, who's listening to what you're saying and is editing for you.
Invaluable.
Okay?
Yeah.
And saying things like, who is your target market?
Yeah.
I got this friend of mine, Charlie, always tells me the same thing. Charlie Bindick, God bless him. And we're always knocking heads because Charlie, you met Charlie.
Yeah, yeah.
And Charlie is always telling me, who's your target market? Who's your target market?
Uh-huh.
You know, and what I'm doing is I'm casting a wider net.
Right.
And I'm trying to appeal to a number of... you know what it is? I'm using a different demographic. I'm using psychographic data, which means that I'm looking at attitudes.
Wow.
People who have attitude, younger attitudes, as opposed to an age segmenting factor. And you can do that in marketing.
Okay.
So I'm looking at those people that are interested in learning about marketing and branding and how they are going to be able to apply those principles in their own lives so that they can go brand themselves.
Bam.
See, that's the factor,
yes.
The segmenting factor, not so much the age. Because in today, I think people who are retired are having just as many issues of how to get a job as people in their 20s do.
Sure.
Okay. And so the older person may have issues in terms of there are certain things that I know I don't want to do and maybe are too easy to communicate that, while the younger person may have this idea that what do I say?
Hmm.
And so, but both need what I call a plan, a map, as you were, to tell them where to go. This is Brand Talk, John Tantillo, TJ McCormick, VOX 1460 on your AM dial. If you want to give us a call on how do you brand, or I should say, how do you evaluate your brands? Do you use the curve or do you use the objective approach? 914-636-0110. 914-636-0110. So with all is said and done, I think what we can say is that it depends on the particular situation, and it also depends on the particular brand class. Whether or not it's politics, whether or not that's a restaurant, whether or not it's a movie, as to whether or not we use, and even our mood, as to whether or not maybe we've seen three great movies that week, and then we see something that is just not there, and you think it's the worst movie they ever saw.
Mm.
So it's just something to consider, and there you go.
So we've established that President Obama's done an awful job. Okay, next.
That was TJ McCormick who said that. Not John Tantillo, the brand guy. All Tantillo does, the brand guy, is looks at brands and makes you make the decision as to whether or not you think that the brand is something you want to buy into or you'll pass on. So, and by the way, we got a show today. I got Tiger Woods I want to talk about. I want to talk about Katie Couric. I want to talk about Keith Olbermann.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I got so much pink slime. I mean, there's so much. We have a Did You Know That?
I love those.
You got
this
it.
This one going to get me again today?
I think, I don't know. I might have slipped. I may have given you anticipation. Okay. Anyway.
Let's talk. I can't wait to talk about Olbermann.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Huh?
That's a guy who's living up to his lousy brand. He's consistent. He is consistent.
Oh, my
How about
God.
You get a job in TV and you be grateful? You know? How about you? Hey, people out there. How about somebody gets $10 million a year to talk for an hour a night and they're grateful for it and they show up and shut up and do their job? How about that for 10 minutes, Keith Olbermann? $10 million a year to get carted around, to do a show, to go out there, express your opinion, $10 million a year, and you got to go be that way about it? Be so ungrateful.
What does he say? He said he's the chandelier without a ballroom.
Oh, yeah. At least he's humble. At least he's humble. He refers to himself as a $10 million chandelier, but they wouldn't build a nice house around it.
How do you feel about Keith Olbermann? 914-636-0110. What's his brand? What's your brand? Would you be able to make that kind of a statement and be proud of it? I know I couldn't. But what can I say? I only have a PhD in psychology. I'm not making $10 million
a year. This guy has walked away from, been booted out of, three major television jobs. How about we're grateful for a wonderful opportunity?
Yes. Well, you know what we're going to do after the break?
What's
we're going
to
talk about
have a conniption.
Yes, we're going to have that. We're going to talk about brand winner and loser. Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
And we're going to have more fun on these topics. And.